The second scripture reading today is from 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4, up on the screen or in your pew Bible, 1202. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and hats. No. And fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
I almost thought two or three times this week I was nuts to have that text read this morning. But God kept saying, no, Dave, I'll read that text this morning because there's some gold and some diamonds in this text that are sometimes laid aside when we hear words that we don't oftentimes want to hear, and we maybe see a context here that we think is so last century. I wanted to do it because I believe God wanted me to do it, and I think you're going to find by the end of the service this morning, this text speaks very loudly to a godly woman, a godly mother, and also speaks to fathers and husbands as well in a very powerful way. You know, there are words that we hear, say names. If I was to mention some names to you, it would make you cringe to hear those names, wouldn't it? Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, Charles Manson, for those of us who are a little bit older, Ted Bundy, KKK. You hear those words and it doesn't make you want to just... Doesn't it? Same thing happens with words sometimes as well. When we hear certain words, we want to cringe when we hear them. And over my life in ministry, one of the words that is most cringe-worthy to women is the word, because I think it's so abused, is the word submit. Makes some cringe. I've had some Bible studies. I had one, I'll say it not here, but I had a Bible study when I was in Norway with couples, and we were reading all these texts about husbands and wives and mothering and fathering and all this sort of thing. And there's a couple of the texts that were read about that. And the one lady in the class was just angry. Angry. I will never submit to anyone. We worked through that over a period of time, and I think she at least was somewhat comfortable with the word after we got done with it. And I'm hoping by the time we get to the end of this morning, we'll see that as a word to be cherished rather than a word to cringe at. But words like submit, we don't like. Master, you hate that word when that master is being used of someone else other than you. Weaker, don't you hate that word? Weak. Slave, servant. We don't like those words. They're in Scripture in a variety of contexts, but they're all over the place. They're there. And yet we cringe sometimes when we hear those kinds of words. Why do these words make us cringe? I think they make us cringe because, for one, these kinds of words make us feel weaker, don't they? Submit, master. Weak, slave, servant, make us feel weaker. It seems less honorable when we think of those kinds of words. They make us cringe. It implies sacrifice, and maybe sacrifice is a word that isn't quite as difficult for us to hear. But nonetheless, we cringe when it's, I'm the one that has to sacrifice. I'm the one that has to give of myself. And why do these words make us cringe. These words make us cringe because we live in a world where we're supposed to be all about me, and these words seem to place someone else above me. And I don't like that. I don't like that. Someone else is placed above me. We don't like to hear that. Yet, I'll tell you something this morning. These words describe the way of the Lord. These words describe the way of the Lord. He says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he says, I came not to be served, I came to serve. What a humbling statement that ought to be for you and me. We live our lives so often wanting to be served. And yet, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I should be living my life always wanting to serve. Let's flesh it out a little bit. If Jesus was one who desired to serve instead of being served, that should say something to me. It should speak to me in some way. And I need to think about that for a moment. I want to level the playing field here before I continue on, though, and that is this. Let me just briefly go to that text that was read in 1 Peter 3 and help us understand the context of the day. Paul lived in a context, and all of the disciples lived in a context, where women were treated as property. It was a very patriarchal society where women were treated as almost like slaves by so many in that world. It didn't matter who you are, where, it didn't matter whether you were religious or not religious. That was kind of the way it was back then. Paul comes into a context like that, and I'm telling you with all of my heart, even after reading this text, that what Paul was trying to do was to correct an injustice. Because in Christ, everyone was equal. In the Scriptures, in fact, in Galatians 3:23, where it says, there is neither male nor female, slave nor free. In Christ, we're all equal. We're all one and the same in Jesus Christ. Yes, there may be roles, but we are equal. There was no hierarchy in Christ. And so Paul comes into that context, and even in this text, too, if you recognize what he's coming into, what he is perhaps actually saying here is this. Wives, you have a new understanding of your life in Jesus Christ, and your life in Jesus Christ is one of freedom. It is one of being equally valued by God as the men are. It's a situation where it's new, it's different than what it used to be. Because you see, in Christ, there is no hierarchy. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And in that context, don't so overuse this newfound freedom that you upset the apple cart. Your husband is your husband, and you ought to respect them. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, isn't it your desire to serve them? Listen, but isn't it too the desire of the husband to serve the wife? Don't forget Ephesians 5, where it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Don't you ever forget that, men. Because sometimes we've been horrible. What's it mean to love your wife as Christ loved the church? It means to give yourself totally and completely up for the other. What it really means, too, is that the man submits to the desires and the needs of his spouse, of his wife. I watched last night, and you need to see it, movie. It's one of those kind of movies. How many have seen Breakthrough? You need to see it. It's the story of this little boy that broke through the ice, and he was down there for 15 minutes, and I think it was well over an hour later, he was basically dead. This is a true story. And he came back to life, and the doctor who was working on him, who was a nationally renowned doctor with drowning victims, basically tells the family, it ain't going to happen. He's dead. There's no way, after all this that happened, there's no way that he's going to make it. He's dead. Well, as the story goes, in the end, and it's the true story, he comes back. His mother prayed, Holy Spirit, breathe life into my boy. And over a period of time, over the next few hours, and Amber was there and Lisa was there too. I looked both ways to see if they were doing what I was doing. And they were. But in that story, you had a mother who was the only one at points in time that was believing that their child was going to come back. You know, he was breathing, but nothing else, you know, and he was in this induced coma. And of course, the doctors were even talking behind your back and within earshot and talking death about this son. They weren't talking life. And there were a couple occasions in the movie when the mother, yes, the mother would do is say, if you aren't going to speak death in this room, you're going to speak life. He did that in the waiting room when some of the people were gathered around and saying, telling the kids, well, we probably should go because, you know, he's probably going to die and all those things. And she speaks life in that room. And sometimes they're a little rude about it. But what I wanted to get to is this about the mother, because I think here is where it was an aha moment for her. Her husband was talking with her and she was speaking as if it was her responsibility, and she was the one that was going to make sure this happened. And she finally come to an aha moment. And that aha moment was a moment that we all need to get to at some point in our life. And that aha moment was this: I've got to give it to God. Even though she was praying all these things, she was still taking it herself, and it was her responsibility, and she had to do it. And she finally was up on the roof of this hospital, and she was praying to God, God, I give it to you. I give my child to you. I don't know what else to do but just to give it to you. And I have been selfish, and I have not been doing that. It was an aha moment for her. And that aha moment is what I want to bring back into the message this morning, this whole idea about submitting. She finally submitted to God. I said, okay, God, this is yours. I see in mothers far more than I see in fathers that they get it. I'm not slamming you guys. I'm just saying, and me, I'm just saying I see this far more in mothers than I see in fathers. And that's why I entitled the message this morning, The Heartbeat of the Home, because I think for the most part, and not always, and you ladies know yourselves, you know, sometimes we fall far short. But ladies get this idea of submitting. And they do it willingly and lovingly. They make sacrifices that oftentimes go unnoticed and unappreciated by their husbands or their kids if they don't have a husband. And they silently live that kind of life, and they don't think they're even being noticed for it. And they need to be appreciated for that kind of living of life, because I think what they've got is what the text was saying this morning. And even though it makes us cringe, because, you know, sometimes it's really hard to submit to those who don't appreciate. Some live in those kind of contexts at home. Well, they don't have a spouse that appreciates. And it's hard to submit. Submit doesn't mean to lay down and get stepped on. But it means that I always have in my mind and in my heart, whether it's a spouse or whether it's a child, I'm here for you. I'm here as a servant. I am here as someone who just wants to give myself totally to the other. Jesus did that better than anyone else does that when he died on the cross. Why did he do that? He didn't need to do that. He was the perfect Son of God, and yet he did that for all of us who falls so far short, He came to serve, not to be served. The biblical mandate for us is to serve. I would wear as a charm around my neck as a man to submit to the needs and the desires of my wife or my kids. I don't do it so well. Sometimes I fail. But folks, I wish we would use that word with a sense of pride and not cringe. I wish you and I would use that word weak with a sense of pride and not cringe. Because you know what? Paul even said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. Because when I'm weak, I understand that the one who loves me is the one who's control, and I give it over to Him. And now I'm strong because I know that I'm weak. Master and slave, God, I want to be your slave. But He changes that over and He says, you're my brother. He says that in Romans, you're my brother and you're my sister. You're my co-heir. Isn't He awesome? Folks, I wish we would wear these words with pride rather than cringe at them. Because we live in a world where it's all about me. And it shouldn't be about me. Sacrificing ourselves for the sake of others is what we all ought to be about. I think the word privilege should replace the word right. We live in a world where we think we have our rights. We should be living in a world where we understand it's a privilege, not a right. The heartbeat of a home. More lives have been changed by the loving servant attitude of a wife and mother than by any other means. To lead in a home, one needs to serve in a home. Mothers, wives, you tend to be very good at that. I'm grateful. The husband may be the head of the home, but the wife is the heart of the home. So, folks, I hope maybe this morning, if you read that text again, you don't read that text cringing, but you read that text in 1 Peter with a sense of pride. What an honor it is to serve. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for mothers. Thank you for all those who care for us when we need caring for. Thank you for those who understand to be like Christ is to serve like Christ. It's not about being number one. It's not about having those cater to us. It's about what can I do for the other. God, in my life, my mother did that best. and I'm grateful. There are many here this morning that probably could say the same thing. Many mothers have followed the example of Christ. And I wish we would do that as well as fathers. God bless all women on this day. Mothers or not, thank you for the way you created them. Thank you for the way that they give of themselves to others. But even more, thank you for Jesus, who died our death and rose for our sake. For it's in His precious, glorious, and wonderful name we do pray. Amen.